Today morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, chapter entitled Deliverance of the Yamalarjuna Trees, text number 14. Yata kantaka vidhango jantor ne chati tam vyatam jiva samyam gato linge na tata vidha kantakah. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. By seeing their faces, one whose body has been pricked by pins can understand the pain of others who are pinpricked. Realizing that this pain is the same for everyone, it does not want others to suffer in this way. But one who has never been pricked by pins cannot understand this pain. Purport. There is a saying, the happiness of wealth is enjoyable by a person who has tasted the distress of poverty. There is also another common saying, Vandya ki bujibe prasava vedana. A woman who has not given birth to a child cannot understand the pain of childbirth. Unless one comes to the platform of actual experience, one cannot realize what is pain and what is happiness in this material world. The laws of nature act accordingly. If one has killed an animal, one must himself be killed by that same animal. This is called mamsa. Mam means me and sa means he. As I am eating an animal, that animal will have the opportunity to eat me. In every state, therefore, it is ordinarily the custom that if a person commits murder, he is hanged. Hare Krishna. So now we are reading Narad Muni is chastising Nala Kuver and Manigriv, and very mercifully he is cursing them to be trees, and is revealing the consciousness of a person who is very puffed up and who is blinded by false pride. And because of this intoxicated condition, Nala Kuver and Manigriv could not recognize Sri Narad Muni, because they were blinded by this opulence of wealth, beauty that they possessed. And in this section, Srila Prabhupada also reveals how these opulences become impediments in our devotional service, because we identify with these opulences and we become proud. False ego, actually, what does it mean? What is the meaning of false ego? When we identify, or when we connect to different roles that we play in our day-to-day lives, and our consciousness is, I am this role that I am playing. I am that person. My identity is that. That is false ego. So for example, if I identify myself as a preacher, so if whole day I am thinking I am a preacher, that is false ego. Or I am a manager. So we have different roles. So when I identify with that role, and the intensity of the false ego, or how the false ego is massive, depends on how much this identification is deep rooted. So one level is, I identify with the role that I play, but the false ego becomes more intense when I want others also to identify me with my role. I want others to recognize me for the role that I am playing. So, for example, if I am primarily always thinking I am a preacher, then I want you to recognize me also as a preacher. And then the false ego becomes even more bloated when I not only am identifying with a certain role, and I want you to also recognize me for that role, but I also want you to appreciate me for that role that I am playing. Oh, he's such a nice manager, he's such a nice preacher. So, what happens then when we are chanting also, these roles are in our, you know, we are identifying with these roles. So throughout the day, these identities are plaguing our consciousness. So Nala Kuver and Manigriv are thinking, we are beautiful, we are wealthy. So And so because of this, this is called as a prideful condition, pride. This is a situation of pride, false pride. And this is this kind of consciousness where we identify with all these temporary things that we are getting. This takes us far away from Krishna and from our loving relationship with Krishna as Krishna's servant. And the most ironical thing about all this is all these roles that we are playing and all the identities that we have, different, they're all temporary. That's why they're called as false ego. Srila Prabhupada writes in the first canto, in the purport, that one should not be proud of borrowed plumes. Peacocks, no, they have a feather, peacock plumes. So the crow may sometimes find that peacock feather lying on the ground and may put it on itself, thinking that now I have become beautiful. Now I am no longer ugly. That's a borrowed plume. How long will that apparent beauty last? So we are proud of our borrowed plumes. We get some skill, some ability, some role, some identity because of our either karma or because Krishna gives us. And then we forget Krishna in the process. We become intoxicated by that temporary position that has been given to us. Because Krishna will take away everything in due course of time. Even for somebody like Arjuna, Tadvai danusta ishava sarato hayaste soham rati nripatayo edanamanti sarvam kshanena tadabu dasadisha riktam bhasman hutam kuvakaradam ivoptamushyam. When Arjuna is meeting meeting King Yudhishthir after coming back from Dwarka, he is telling Maharaj Yudhishthir that I had the same bow, Tadvai danusta ishava, I had the same arrows, same Gandiva bow, same horses, same chariot, and the same Maharati Arjuna, but I was defeated by this infidel coward men. Why? Because Krishna withdrew his power. And then he gives three examples. Basman hutam kuvakaradam ivoptamushyam. He says, without Krishna's mercy, without Krishna's empowering, all our efforts are like putting butter on ashes. Or kuvakaradam, it's like waving a magic wand and trying to get money. Or ivoptamushyam, or planting seeds on a land that is not fertile, barren land. What is the point? we will not get anything. Similarly, when Krishna has withdrawn his shakti, his mercy, his potency, then we are incapable of doing anything. So what are we proud of? So beauty, Krishna will take away in due course of time. Wealth will be enjoyed by somebody else, even if I have the wealth. So basically all the so-called opulences of this world are temporary. Therefore a devotee always identifies himself with none of these roles. Jivara Swarupoye Krishnera Nitya Das. He only has one identity, that I am a servant of Krishna. A devotee endeavors to give up all these designations, Sarvapadi Vinirmuktam, Tat paratvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchyate. He wants to become free from all these temporary designations and he wants to engage all his senses in the service of the master of the senses, Rishikesha. So therefore, a devotee is conscious that I cannot identify with these temporary things that we get. And this is beautifully illustrated in the prayers of Queen Kunti. So in one of the prayers, there are 26 prayers, in one of the earlier prayers, she is saying, Vipada santu ta shashvat tatra tatra jagat guru bhavato darshanam esyad apunar bhavadarshanam. That my dear Krishna, please give me calamities again and again, let them come again and again, because I can remember you, and if I can remember you, then I will not have to see. If I can see you, then I don't have to see repeated birth and death. When we read this verse, sometimes devotees think, is this practical? Can we pray like this to Krishna? Krishna, give me more and more calamities. We cannot. Srila Prabhupada writes very clearly in the purport that we cannot pray like this. But what we have to learn from this prayer of Queen Kunti is that calamities we cannot avoid in our lives. Whoever you are. So Srila Prabhupada writes very clearly that no one in this material world can avoid calamities and miseries coming. And he says, that there are three things we need to do, we need to practice, to be able to, Hare Krishna. There are three things that we need to do to be able to survive this onslaught of miseries in our lives. Calamity, yeah. So first Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that we have to always remember Krishna. Because he gives an example in this, that in teachings of Queen Kunti, he gives the example of a ship that is on the sea. Any time the ship can sink. It's a very dangerous, unsafe place. So therefore, what we have to constantly do in this material world, it's a very unsteady place. Anytime, anything can happen. So we have to always remember Krishna. And then, Srila Prabhupada paraphrases what Arjuna is speaking. You know, Arjuna is telling Krishna, Krishna, you are saying we are not the body, we are the soul, all these things I understand. But it is so difficult to practice. Because I love my uncles, my grandchildren, grandfathers, all on the basis of bodily relationships. How can I just ignore this? So then Prabhupada paraphrases what Krishna is saying. So Krishna says, Arjuna, I know that. It's not possible. Therefore, I'm suggesting tolerate. Tolerance is the second thing that one has to practice. And the strength to remember Krishna and tolerate comes with the third principle that Srila Prabhupada emphasizes. And that is, Srila Prabhupada says, that just fix your mind on the goal that I want Krishna. He says that the ship, any time turbulent waves may come and the ship may capsize, but we have to just tolerate and keep marching ahead soberly, just keep going ahead, knowing that any time anything can go wrong, but I have to be fixed on my goal. In fact, in a second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 66th verse purport, Srila Prabhupada writes very clearly, all disturbance in our lives is because of want of an ultimate goal. We don't have an ultimate goal in life. We are not clear about what we really want. That's why we always get disturbed. So in this purport, where Kunti Devi is talking about miseries, calamities, Srila Prabhupada says we have to remember Krishna, we have to tolerate all the unfortunate situations that happen to us, and soberly march ahead, fixing our consciousness on the goal. And in the next verse, after this, Kunti Devi reveals why we are unable to take shelter of Krishna. So there she reveals the reason is because we are proud. Janmeshwarya Shruta Shribir Edamana Madapuman Naivaratya Bidhatum Vai Twama Kinchana Gochara. She says, Madha, we are intoxicated because of having these opulences. Janma, birth, high birth, aristocratic birth. Aishwarya, opulences. Shruta, high education, learning. And Shri, bodily beauty. Because of this, we are not able to call out to Krishna. Therefore, my dear Krishna, Kunti Devi is saying, you are Akinchana Gochara. You are the property of the materially impoverished person. And this is what Narad Muni is doing now. Narad Muni is depriving Nalakuvera and Manigriva of their opulences so that they become Akinchana. And in that state, they can take shelter of Krishna. And in this purport, Srila Prabhupada draws very nice analogy. He explains in a very nice way, he compares a materially puffed up person to a drunkard. Just like, you know, Srila Prabhupada writes, if you go and tell a drunkard, sir, this is your mother, this is your father, please understand. He will not understand. He will think he is flying in the air, he will think he is doing something, he will be in his own world. Similarly, when a person identifies himself very deeply with these temporary positions and possessions that he has, then if somebody comes and tells him, this is Krishna, your eternal father, eternal mother, this is God, please take shelter of Krishna. Like an intoxicated person, he cannot accept, he cannot appreciate this. He is in his own world. You know, I am handsome, I am beautiful, I am wealthy, I am Marwadi, I am Gujarati, I am Indian, I am Brahmachari. So many identities we have, because of which we are not able to call out to Krishna helplessly, with feeling. And then, although material world gives us a lot of suffering, we are not able to call out to Krishna because of this deep-rooted identification. Like Kavichandra Maharaj was once saying that he saw in the street, he is a very observant person, you know. he observes the world very carefully. He saw one drunkard bleeding. He was falling down on the ground. He was bleeding from his head, nose. And the police was trying to put him in order, trying to help him. And he was telling the police, "No, don't touch me. I'm all right. I'm perfectly all right." He was actually bleeding. He was falling on the gutter, getting up. He was in an intoxicated state. He was miserable, but he was thinking, "I'm all right." Similarly, an intoxicated person, you know, one who is intoxicated by these material opulences of birth, wealth, he thinks he's all right, although he's suffering. He's in a very pitiable condition. And how long will this intoxicated condition last? You know, after intoxication, then comes the hangover. A person is miserable. And material nature, material energy, she disdainfully strips us of all our possessions, all our upadis. And actually we are fortunate if she slaps us hard and we come back to her, just like a drunkard, you know, if you slap him hard and he comes back from, comes out of his intoxicated condition. So Narad Muni is doing that here. In one sense, he is slapping hard Nalakvir and Manigriv and shaking them from their slumber and from their intoxicated condition. So if we don't voluntarily surrender to Krishna, then material nature will certainly kick us and strip us of all our identifications. And for devotees are fortunate if the spiritual master sobers them up by his correction, by his loving instructions. And especially living in the association of devotees is wonderful because, you know, devotees, in association we get humbled. And devotees will not allow us to get intoxicated. Srila Prabhupada, whoever was very close to Srila Prabhupada would be careful and very particular to see that his disciples wouldn't get puffed up and proud. When Srila Prabhupada was in San Francisco, one girl would come for Prabhupada's classes. Her name was Linda. And she was a very intelligent girl. Most of the people who came were hippies. But she was very talented. She was studying Socrates, Greek philosophy. She was going to university. And when she came to the to Prabhupada's classes, Prabhupada noticed that she's very intelligent. And she started asking very intelligent questions. And Srila Prabhupada recognized her. And then he taught her cooking, and she picked up cooking so fast, and she was the best cook there. And then Srila Prabhupada also commented a few times, "She's very good, very intelligent, very good cook." And many occasions when Srila Prabhupada would take prasad, he would call for her, and he would make her sit in front of him, and he would offer her a plate, and he would give prasad to her, and they would take prasadam together. That was also very astonishing for many devotees. Wow, she's so special. She is so close to Srila Prabhupada. But Srila Prabhupada saw that she is becoming proud of her, you know, position now, that she is close to spiritual master. So one day, it was an Ekadashi day, Srila Prabhupada was cooking those famous ISKCON Simply Wonderfuls. And she came in and she was in the kitchen for some time. She was helping. Prabhupada made it and offered to Krishna. And then they were all honoring the prasadam. Janaki, Mukunda, all of them were there. Then by this time, she was initiated. Linda was initiated. She was Lilavati Dasi. So Lilavati, so Prabhupada turned to Lilavati and he asked her, "So Lilavati, what does this contain? What is this item that we have cooked?" She said, "Prabhupada, I don't know." Srila Prabhupada, "You don't know? Can't you make out? What are the ingredients in this?" So she was guessing and she couldn't make out. Prabhupada said, "But you came to the kitchen. Didn't you see?" She said, "No, Prabhupada, I didn't see. I was busy." But then Prabhupada started laughing. "Oh, Lilavati is busy without intelligence. She is very busy, but she doesn't know what she is doing." And Prabhupada started laughing. And all the other devotees also started laughing. She felt completely humiliated, completely crushed. Because she was thinking she is very good and very nice. But here Srila Prabhupada was smashing her. And at the end of it, she was devastated. Because everybody was laughing. Prabhupada continued to make fun of her, chastise her. And later on, she sobered up. And then she realized, "Oh, I was becoming very proud and my spiritual master has mercifully, you know, he's making me humble." When Srila Prabhupada was in Paris, Lochanananda Das, he was introducing all the devotees in the temple to Srila Prabhupada. So Hari Vilas Prabhu was the temple president. So he came in. Already the temple hall was crowded. And he thought, "I'm the temple president, you know. Now Prabhupada will be told that I am the temple president. I'm so important." So in front of everyone, he just walked right in the front, he made way and walked and sat right in front of Srila Prabhupada. And Lochanananda Prabhu was introducing. And he said, "Prabhupada, this is this devotee, he is doing this service." Prabhupada was seeing. And there was one devotee called Ghanshyam who was translating Prabhupada's books into French. And Ghanshyam was feeling very shy. He was standing behind and he was trying to avoid coming in the limelight. And Lochanand Prabhu said, "Srila Prabhupada, this is Ghanshyam. He is translating your books into French." Prabhupada said, "Acha?" And then Prabhupada looked for him. And Ghanshyam was sitting right in the back. Srila Prabhupada said, "Oh, please stand up." So he stood up. Srila Prabhupada said, "Thank you very much." He felt very happy, grateful. And then Lochanand Prabhu continued. And he said, "Prabhupada, this is Hari Vilas Prabhu." And he became so happy. And he was waiting for this, that Prabhupada will be told. Hey, and he got up, thinking that now, you know, Prabhupada wants to say something. And he got up and Lochanand Prabhu said, "Prabhupada, this is Hari Vilas Prabhu, our temple president." And Prabhupada just looked at Lochanand Prabhu for the next person to be introduced. As if he doesn't exist, he didn't even look at him. And then the next person was introduced. Prabhupada continued seeing others. And Hari Vilas Prabhu was completely shattered because in front of all the devotees who considered him as temple president, Srila Prabhupada completely ignored him. So Prabhupada was expert, he knew how to make a person humble. So when we serve under a guru or Vaishnavas, they don't flatter, they don't unnecessarily allow us to be, you know, intoxicated by our some position or some skill or some ability that we have. And in this section also, in this teachings of Queen Kunti, which is a very beautiful book, where Srila Prabhupada writes very nice purports, Srila Prabhupada writes how, in many verses, how he quotes Trinadapi Sunichana verse also, and he explains how one has to abandon false pride. And in this section we are reading also, Narad Muni is humbling Nalukuvir and Manigriva, and thereby is giving them intimate mercy. This is Vedic culture. Vedic culture means being sober, not becoming very proud when you get success, and not becoming miserable when you lose material success or material prosperity. So in happiness and distress, one continues to chant Hare Krishna and be happy, not being too proud and puffed up. Sukhe dukhe bole naako vadane hari naam karore. Happiness or distress, these are all fleeting situations. One has to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness so that we don't get deviated from our spiritual life. I remember reading in Journey Home about Grandpa Bill Slavin. Adana Swami Maharaj writes how, you know, his grandfather would be so sober and equipoised as the younger people in the family would be jumping around, doing so many things, but he would be in the other world while in this world. This is Vedic culture also. A person is sober. I remember I grew up in a small town. I would see all the elders, you know, they would be like always equipoised. They would go for weddings, they would be happy, but they would be not agitated and jumping around like, you know. That's why Krishna says tolerate happiness and distress both. Not just distress, he says tolerate happiness also. Don't jump like a monkey when you are happy, and don't be miserable when you are, you know, distressed or when you are sad. So we grew up watching them, but we grew up watching TV also. So we were used to a lot of bombardment of visual images and a lot of expression of emotions. That is the culture we are growing up with. So for even small things, there is like, you know, a bombastic kind of thing and a lot of loud expressions. So that sobriety is lost. Basically, the point is God-centered life. If there is a God-centered life, Krishna-centered life, then one becomes peaceful. Actually, we got this realization, many of us, when we were in Orissa last week. Last Sunday, we went to Remuna, Kirchor Gopinath temple, and the nearby villages there. Amazing, you know, people have hardly anything. They don't have Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shribir. They are devoid of these opulences. But because their life is centered around Gopinath, deity, Remuna temple, they are peaceful. They are happy. I remember we went to Govind Chandra Das Prabhu's house. This is his legal name, Govind Chandra Das. His family has been worshipping Gopinath for many generations. And his four sons, all, you know, legal names are Kamal Lochan, Lakshmi Narayan, Radhakant. And they have a deity of Radha Govind in their house for the last 400 years. So many generations have been worshipping. So I remember going to their house in 2006. This elderly person, Govind Chandra Das, he's one of the village heads. He's 65, 70. But so sober. And you look at him, you feel you're looking at some saint, you know. So peaceful, happy, satisfied in his internal connection to Krishna and service to Krishna and devotees. And he does all menial service there. So we went for the inauguration of the new temple. I remember when going in 2006, their house was in a dilapidated condition. It was not really, you know, it's a simple, they're simple people. So last 6 years, his sons have been working and they saved some money. Now with that money, they could have made the house better. That's what logically we would expect. But with all that money, they built a nice temple for Radha Govind, because the earlier temple was getting, you know, it was breaking down. And what a beautiful temple. Amazing. And we were all stunned, you know. And this person is so satisfied. I was thinking, if normal person would think, okay, we have earned so much money now, let us renovate our house. And instead of 3-bedroom all kitchen, we can make it 5-bedroom all kitchen. And we can give one room exclusively for Radha Govind. Definitely, we'll serve Krishna. That is understandable and that is reasonable also. But here is a person, his sons, his sons' wives, his daughter-in-law, his wife, all of them, they are fully satisfied in making this temple for Radha Govind. And elaborate festival, abhishek, yagya. And he was so happy, you know, serving devotees. This is actually Vedic culture. We have lost this. Centered around Krishna. What is to happen in the Vedic culture? People, even though they had little, individual families possessed little, but because their life was centered around Krishna, temple, so they would be happy. They would be satisfied. And we had many experiences in those 2 days, because it was a small yatra and not many people were there in the temple. We got a lot of darshan of Kirchhor Gopinath. So at one time in the night, we got lost. And we went to some villager's house. It was completely dark and we were strangers for them. Still spontaneously, they were not devotees, but spontaneously they saw these devotees are lost from Bombay. They called few of their other neighbors, they got their bikes, they dropped all the devotees back happily. One day in the morning, Nityanand Prabhu and myself, we wanted to chant our rounds. We walked and we found one nice place near a small lake. So we thought we'll chant here. We sat there and nearby were all huts, you know, poor people were staying. And there was one lady in one of the huts, she was taking care of her small baby. And we could clearly see they are extremely poor. This lady wanted to serve, but she also knew the etiquette, you know. You can't just approach, they are sadhu, they are dressed in saffron. So she was just in her hut, and suddenly we saw two young boys coming. They bought chairs, water for us. I said, where did you get it from? So then they pointed to that lady. She said, she called both of us and she gave us this to serve you. And we saw her, she was, you know, very shy and inside the house, inside that small hut. So then I said, we don't need this, we want to, you know, sit on the ground and just be relaxed here. For Nityanand Prabhu said, no, no, let us accept this service. Mataji will be happy. So then we took that service, and after some time we returned. While returning the chairs, we went to that hut. We saw absolutely nothing in that house, but so satisfied in service, you know. And she was so grateful that we accepted some service. And the height was, the last day, all devotees left from Ramuna to Puri. And I and Nityanand Prabhu thought we'll take some extra darshan and, you know, we'll stay till late, and we booked an auto. So we talked to one shopkeeper there, and this was an unforgettable incident. So I told the shopkeeper, he had some auto, he had some contact. So he said, I'll get a rickshaw for you at 9 o'clock. He will come. You have to pay 150 rupees. Actually, the rate is 130, but it is night time, so you have to pay 150. We agreed. So 9 o'clock, the rickshawala will come, and we were taking darshan. And at 8:15, our devotee said, Prabhuji, there is one more vehicle extra from our yatra. So this vehicle will be there till 9:30. So you can come in this vehicle. But now we have already booked that rickshawala. We have to give him money, you know, 150 rupees, and he is going to get. So by this time, it was 8:45, and I went to the shopkeeper to tell him that we don't need your rickshaw. I thought we could save money. So I told him, see, we asked for an auto, but our vehicle is also there. So, and I know that, you know, we asked you to arrange an auto. And immediately said, yes, our auto driver has come. He has come 15 minutes early. He'll be there for you at 9. We said, no, actually, we don't need. We have our own vehicle. But because we asked from you and we committed for 150 rupees, so we'll give you 50 rupees. I thought I'll save 100 rupees by that way. But you take 50 rupees and, you know, you go away. Let him go away. So he took the 50 rupees and immediately said, no, keep it. You're not using the auto. I said, no, we're not using. And then keep the money. I said, no, but, you know, we called him. He came here for us from far. Actually, I was thinking he would take all the 150, you know. But he was returning the 50 rupees also, and he's saying, no, we don't need. And I was bewildered. I was wondering, is this reality, you know? He was refusing to take the money, and I was telling him, no, you should take, because we called him. He said, no, it's good actually. This he's my brother only. We'll take dinner early and he will sleep. So I was surprised, you know, how they are satisfied. And then the mystery was revealed to me later, because he didn't take the money and the auto was there. So I went to take more darshan because we had some more time. And there was nobody in the temple that time. And then suddenly I saw the same shopkeeper is there. They have a small group of 4 or 5 people. They come in the night at 9 o'clock, 8:45, and they do kirtan for Kirchhor Gopinath and Jagannath deity there. I was loudly chanting, doing kirtan. He got some fruits for the deities. And then I came to know that this person comes every night like this and does service for the deities. His life is centered around deities, the villagers there. Because they are serving Krishna and they don't have any of these material opulences, they are satisfied. They are satisfied with simple things. And there is a saying, no? It's difficult to be happy with little, but with much, it is impossible to be happy. So we could see this. They didn't have any of these opulences that people are craving for, but they had Krishna in their lives. So of course, we should clarify that it's not that simply having these opulences or not having these opulences makes one proud or humble. Srila Prabhupada said, even a beggar is proud of his penny. So a person may not have anything. Sometimes, you know, a devotee may think, I am not beautiful, I am not learned, I am not having all these opulences, so maybe I am humble. Srila Prabhupada actually reveals, he gives us a very nice barometer, yardstick by which we can know whether we are humble or not. In that same purport of Janmaishwarya Shruta verse, Srila Prabhupada says, holy name has full all the potencies of Krishna, but there is a quality to chanting of holy name. If somebody is puffed up and proud, he can never chant the holy name with feeling. So therefore, if I am not able to chant holy names with feeling, then I should know I am proud. Simple. Simple way to know whether we are proud or not. If somebody is actually humble and not identifying with these material opulences, then his chanting will be very good. His chanting will be that of full quality and feeling. So therefore, Krishna consciousness means being able to call out to Krishna with feeling, with love, and being, this is a combination of being conscious of Krishna's greatness and Krishna's opulences, and being conscious of our own insignificance. So when this combination is there, then humility comes. Then there is no place for pride. And in subsequent verses also, Kunti Devi reveals, in the next verse, in one of the next verses, she says, Kevayam nama rupa abhyam edubhi sa pandava bhavato darshanam yari rishikanam iveshitu. My dear Krishna, kevayam, what is our value? What is the value of Pandavas and Yadus if you don't look upon us? Our value is that of a body from which the soul has left. And Srila Prabhupada in that purport elaborates on the phrase, first word, kevayam. What is our value? Srila Prabhupada gives a very graphic example in that purport about a rich man who has many bodyguards and lot of people, you know, surrounding him. And then Prabhupada says, but once this rich man dies and his body is lying there, what is the value of all this, you know? Will the bodyguards really care? So kevayam, what is our value? Because all the things we have will eventually be taken away by Krishna. And the next verse, Kunti Devi says, Ime jana pada asruddha supakvoshadi viruda vanadrinadi udanvanto edante tava vikshite. She says, my dear Krishna, all our towns and villages are flourishing because the rivers are full of water, the hills are full of minerals, the oceans are full of wealth, the forests are full of trees and fruits. And all this is happening because tava vikshite, because you are glancing upon us. Your glance is there, your mercy is there. And in that commentary to that verse, Srila Prabhupada says, how if we live in harmony with nature by keeping our needs simple and depending on Krishna, then we will be happy. We will not be proud. So therefore, we have to be conscious, you know, whatever opulences or abilities we have that has been given to us, it's a blessing of Krishna. And we have to therefore use them in Krishna's service, because we do not know how long will this remain. So none of the things we have has actually any value materially. In fact, we are also so insignificant that if we are not to be there tomorrow, this world is not going to change. Nothing is going to happen to this world without our absence. Recently, I had gone to our hometown and we were going through some legal papers, property papers. Such an experience it was. You know, these old papers of the land were there, some 2-3 plots of land were there. And these were original government of Madras bond paper. And the land was purchased in 1920s. and sold to somebody, some Kaveri Amma sold it to Govinda Bhatt. So all those things we were reading, and so many signatories were there, so many names were there, some 25 names were there in both the papers. And I and my brother, we were going through the names and we were wondering, where are these people? Who are these people? We have absolutely no idea, but that property is with us now, you know, like we are holding a land where 25 people have signed saying that, you know, we are seeing this and this has been so, we don't know any of the person in that paper. And not even, and it's less than 100 years. All these names were immaterial for us. But then I was telling my brother that, you know, now our names are there in these papers. How will it matter to the future? Then you know, nobody is going to care. It's completely insignificant, actually. If you go down also, you know, we have these two statues. Yeah, I mean, they are great people. I'm not denying that. Rustamji Moolji, 1925, he was the president of this, and there was Rao Bahadur, some Vittal, Natu, sailor, 1925, 1917. So they did a lot of service for the LNHO. So of course, they are great people, we are not all glorious to them, but but where are they now, and how does it matter to us? Most of us don't even know the names. We have been staying in this campus for the last 14 years. I don't, now somebody had to remind me the name, prompt me the name. I don't even remember his name. We will be gone. It doesn't matter to the world. And we have seen last 3 years, so many devotees also have left this world. And we lament, and after some time our lives go on as if nothing has happened. And while in these few years that we are alive, we are carrying the whole world in our head and we are worrying about so many things. As if something, some lot of things are there, you know. Actually, there is nothing to celebrate about ourselves in this world. Except the fact that, yeah, we have a great chance to serve Krishna and go back home, back to Godhead. So therefore, this is the solution, that we have to become conscious of Krishna's great position and our own insignificance. And that way, we can be sober, we can be happy and not get puffed up. Of course, the obvious question that arises is, how can we actually become humble? How can we actually be conscious of our insignificance? Because how many of us have been trained before coming to ISKCON that always think that you are insignificant? Always think you are nobody. And when we come to Hare Krishna and we are told, be humble, and we are insignificant. So we think, okay, I'll be insignificant, I'll be humble. But this is more of an intellectual adjustment for us. You know, it's not from the heart. Actually, how many times do we actually feel I'm insignificant? I'm fallen. We don't feel that. So how can we cultivate this consciousness? And the answer is, believe it or not, it's so simple, it's so profound. Srila Prabhupada, he answers this question, how one can become humble? He says, chant Hare Krishna. Somebody may think it's too simplistic, you know, chant Hare Krishna and you become humble. We have to meditate on this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he met Vasudev Leper, now he had left Kurmakshetra, but he came back because Vasudev Leper was desperate, and then Lord Chaitanya embraced Vasudev Leper and all his leprosy went away. And he, instead of becoming ecstatic and happy, he became anxious. He said, now I'll become more proud because now I've got a beautiful body. And now I'll become proud that by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, I have become so nice. So my dear Lord, I want to become humble. How can I remain humble and not puffed up? Now Lord Chaitanya could have said, no, you are just being humble. And no, Lord Chaitanya, to instruct all of us, he told Vasudev Leper, what will help him not become proud? What did Mahaprabhu say? Mahaprabhu advised him to chant Hare Krishna. And I remember in one Pune Yatra, we were, Radhana Swami Maharaj was giving a class on this, Vasudev Leper's pastime. And he was emphasizing on chanting of Hare Krishna. And he was explaining how Vasudev Leper was humble at his perfected stage. Like, it's natural to be humble when we are suffering or when we don't have anything. But here Vasudev Leper had attained success, and at that time he was feeling lowly and humble. And then Maharaj gave examples of Sanatan and Rup Goswami. How, as Dabir Kas and Sakar Malik, their consciousness, what their consciousness was, feeling very fallen and lowly, that same consciousness they had as Rup Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, and having built, you know, such an opulent temple and having so many disciples, even that time their consciousness was same. For that whole class, the theme was how pure devotees, even in their perfected stage, are feeling humble, lowly and fallen. He gave example of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, nobody could pacify Lord Narasimhadev. Prahlad Maharaj could, but Prahlad Maharaj says, I am so fallen. Hari Rugra Jate. I am born in a very low family. So later after the Yatra, Nityananda Prabhu and myself, we were thanking Maharaj. Maharaj, what a class. These points are very nice. And so after Nityananda Prabhu appreciated Maharaj, then Maharaj just looked up and he said, what a relief, isn't it? What a relief it is to not desire any fame, any position, just wanting to be humble. What a relief, isn't it? What a relief. We didn't understand what you were saying. In the sense, we understood his feelings, but we could see that, you know, advanced devotees, they don't want anything of this world. They don't want any glory, any name, fame. So therefore, to reach this stage, if you are constantly chanting Hare Krishna, then one becomes sober. One doesn't become proud. Sounds very simple, but it's very powerful. Constant chanting of Harinam. It's a kind of a paradox. On the one hand, we hear, once if you chant Hare Krishna, it's enough. Have you heard this? Just one chanting of one Maha Mantra, you will become liberated. And on the other hand, we say, Kirtaniya Sada Hari. Always keep chanting. There is a story in the Ramayana of Maharaj Guhaka. Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj once narrated this story about how one king entered an ashram. He had killed a brahmana by accident. And he was feeling very repentant. He wanted to atone for the killing of a brahmana. So he went to this ashram to meet the sage and ask for that if he could do some prayaschit. And the sage was not there. His young son was there. So he told the son, can you please help me? I want to atone for killing a brahmana. And the sage son said, I can help you. And he quoted a lot of verses. And he said, it's very simple atonement according to all the scriptures. You have to chant the holy name of Lord Ram 3 times. If you chant, all the atonement will be done. So this king was very happy. So he said, okay, let me chant 3 times nicely. So he chanted, Ram, Ram, Ram. And he chanted again, extra, just in case. 4 or 5 times he chanted, Ram, Ram. And then he was very happy and relieved. And the son said, now you have atoned for all the sins. You can go back to the kingdom. So he was very happy, grateful. So then when he was going back, he met the sage. And the sage said, oh, my dear king, you have come to our ashram. You look happy. What happened? The king narrated what happened. How his son has helped him atone for killing of a brahmana. And the sage heard, he became furious. He said, my son is an atheist. He should be kicked out of the kingdom. So the king said, what happened? He said, how could he say that by chanting the holy name of Lord Ram 3 times, you can become free from all sinful reactions? Actually, by chanting the holy name of Lord Ram once, one can become free. How could he say 3 times? So like this pastime is given to explain how the holy name of the Lord, you know, if you chant once, it's so powerful. But when we come to Hare Krishna, we are told, always chant Hare Krishna. Minimum 16 rounds. And 16 rounds, fixed number of rounds. Why not just chant once, you know? Let us just close our eyes and then just one day we just come in front of the Lord and just chant once, intensely. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Done. So, it's why we chant always, or why we have quota, why we are fixing 16 rounds is because Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in Harinam Chintamani that we are in this material world. Because we are in this material world, our mind is also in the material world. And although the holy name frees us of all sinful reactions, because our mind is in the material world, our mind has a proclivity to enter into all nonsense and kachara things immediately. As soon as it gets a chance, it wants to go and feast on muck, on dirty things, garbage. Therefore, we have to constantly chant so that we can save ourselves from getting corrupted by this contaminations of material world. So just see, you know, Krishna Katha, we may fall sleepy, but suddenly somebody tells us some latest juicy scandals from the Bollywood or from politics, immediately we become alert. So we have a natural propensity in the material world. Our mind just rushes to these things. Therefore, we have to constantly keep chanting. There is an anecdote in this regard. One garbage collector, you know, he was one day he had off, he had holiday. So he was going to the market. So he entered a perfume market where they sell nice agarbattis, nice perfumes, scents. And he entered that market, and after some time searching and walking in that market, suddenly he fell unconscious, he fell down. So everybody was trying to wake him up. They got the best scents and put it on his nose to wake him up. But he swooned more and he became more choked up. Then his friend was there, his colleague, another garbage collector was there, and he saw him. He said, "No, I know what has happened to him." So he ran, he found some nice garbage which was stinking like anything. And he collected that and he brought it to his friend and put it on his nose. And immediately woke up. Ah, ah, nice. Now I am feeling normal. Actually, this is our condition. We are in the garbage like that crow. We are feasting on it. Prajalpa, fault finding. These things give us taste. So therefore, in chanting Hare Krishna, we get choked. How much I have to chant? You know, when will this be over? So because of that, we find Hare Krishna. So some of our other friends come and give us the garbage. Then we immediately feel, this is what I need, you know. We feel life. This is so unfortunate. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, constantly chanting Harinam, constantly meditating on the holy name, discussing Krishna Katha, will help us get a higher taste. And eventually we will find these things tasteless. I remember Radhakrishna Prabhu was saying, initially, you know, in 2001-2002, when the midday meal started, in the initial day they told me, he got phone call from school principals that our children are falling sick after eating khichdi. So then he found out the reason was, this khichdi was made in pure ghee and these children were not used to eating anything in pure ghee. So when they got the good, rich quality prasad, they fell sick. They couldn't take it. So similarly, we are used to eating all kachra, you know, in terms of intaking into our consciousness. That when we get pure Krishna consciousness, we are not able to relish it. So we have to take more holy name, more Krishna katha, so that we can overcome this tendency to feast on nasty things. So therefore, chanting Hare Krishna will nourish us, will help us become free from all these material proclivities. And what is the reward? What is the reward for sincere chanting? If somebody is sincerely chanting in 16 rounds, and if possible, chanting also extra, hearing classes. What is the reward for this? Now, I got an amazing, you know, while reading Gurujan Prabhu's book, Japa, he's written a very nice book. It was an amazing discovery I made, and I was so happy I learned this lesson. Initially, when I read the book, I thought Prabhuji is talking about some techniques of improving chanting. He has given 9 keys to improve chanting. Like, you know, listening to one Mahamantra, pulling the mind back, neglecting the mind, being detached from all the bad rounds that you have chanted. Things like that. So initially I thought, oh, these are just techniques. We have heard so many techniques in Hare Krishna movement. And after some time, all those techniques become, you know, they don't work for us because we become immune to all the techniques. So I was thinking this is also some techniques Prabhuji is giving. But in subsequent readings of this book, I realized that actually this is based on deep foundational principles. Especially the 7th, 8th and 9th key, humility, causeless mercy, dependence on Krishna. There he makes it very clear that if we are sincere, the key is the actual, what we have to do as chanters, as sadhakas, is we have to be sincere. Sincere means simply not cutting corners, not doing what they say, chalukam. You know? While chanting, trying to listen to the holy name. While doing service. So if there is sincerity in our endeavor, especially while chanting Hare Krishna, if you are sincere, okay, all the rounds have gone bad. Last 10, 12 rounds have gone bad. No problem. This Mahamantra I am going to listen attentively. So that sincerity, if you are just trying sincerely, then the result is what? He makes it very clear. He says the result of sincerity is not some ecstasy or love for Krishna. Of course, that will come eventually. But the immediate result of the reward we get for being sincere is, he says, humility. The reward of sincerity is humility. And because what is the logic behind this? The logic is, if you are sincerely trying to listen to one Mahamantra, so what happens? The mind goes here and there and we pull the mind back. No, listen, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So we listen, eventually what will happen? We will come to the realization that my mind is not in my control.
we'll become helpless because it's not easy. It's not so easy, you know, just to listen to the holy name. So at that stage, we'll actually feel humbled. And that time, we'll be able to chant with feeling. Oh Krishna, I just cannot, I want to listen to the holy name. I'm giving discourses on the holy name, but I'm not chanting nicely. So when we are constantly struggling, trying to be sincere, Krishna rewards us with humility. Humility is not something which, you know, I decide to become humble and I become humble. Actually, humility is a gift of Krishna. And Krishna gives that gift when he sees we are sincerely trying. And then when there is feeling, then there is taste. So therefore, listening to the one Maha Mantra or that chanting, that made so much sense to me. Because our problem is not that our mind is not in control. Many times we think, you know, I'm not able to chant, my mind is wandering. That is a problem, definitely. But a bigger problem is, we are not convinced that our mind is an enemy. We are not convinced that our mind is not in our control. So especially when we try this method which Burijan Prabhu is suggesting, just listen to one Maha Mantra. What happens? By that effort, we will be convinced that my mind is not in my control. And that conviction is very good. It helps us become humble. It made so much sense to me, that sincerity. So we'll feel humiliated, we'll feel frustrated. So humiliation comes before humility. One has to feel helpless, that I cannot control the mind. And many times we say, my mind is not in my control. Actually, as we further progress in devotional service, we have to understand, we have to hear and understand that actually our enemy is not the mind. Mind is simply a bodyguard. Mind is simply doing what the ego, our actual enemy is the false ego. That I want to be an enjoyer, I want to be the master. That ego is the actual enemy. Like, you know, we say Arjuna told Krishna, Krishna, my mind is not in my control. So when we hear that, we also tell other devotees, Prabhuji, I want to chant nicely, but my mind keeps wandering here and there. So when we say that, we are implicitly stating that I am actually a nice person, but what to do, my mind is running here and there. But actual advancement means a devotee realizes that I am actually, you know, Vishayi Durjana Sada Kamerata Kichunai Moraguna. I am actually wicked materialist. So therefore now I am giving up all endeavors. I cannot control my mind, Krishna. It's too much. Hare Mane Chiyami Aneka Yatana Hoilo Vifala Ekana Barasatumi. Now Krishna, I give up. I am tired of all this plan making and all these attempts. So now I take shelter of you. So then this is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. So as a devotee becomes more sincere, he tries to listen to the holy name as he is chanting and is pulling the mind back. That is actually Namabhas chanting. He is actually connecting to Krishna. But the best part is, look at this amazing combination in Krishna consciousness. If a devotee is more and more sincere, he is connecting to Krishna, sincerely fighting, pulling his mind back, listening to the holy name. And along with that, because he is chanting Namabhas, he is chanting sincerely, he is experiencing, you know, ecstasy, if you can call it. He is actually happy, he is blissful. But at the same time, he is also rewarded with humility. Because he is conscious that my mind is not in my control. He is conscious that he is insignificant. So in Krishna consciousness, if a devotee is very sincere, he is happy. At the same time, the devotee is also humble because he realizes my mind is not in my control. And I have no taste for chanting. The best example of this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri, the kind of ecstasies he experienced, no one in history has ever relished the holy name like Lord Chaitanya. And no one in future will ever relish the holy name like Lord Chaitanya. When Swarup Damodar would sing Kirtan, Lord Chaitanya would become so ecstatic, he would run. And all devotees would try to keep pace with him. And he would run and jump into a well, dry abandoned well. And the devotees would think that Lord Chaitanya has fallen into this well. He would hurt himself badly. But when the devotees would come, they would say, Lord Chaitanya has jumped into the well. But the well is now filled with soft butter. And Lord Chaitanya is floating on that butter. On another occasion, Lord Chaitanya would run and run through all thorny bushes in ecstatic remembrance of Krishna's holy names. So he experienced such intimate ecstasies, great ecstasies. And Lord Chaitanya is saying, Durdevam idrisham yajami nanuraga. I am so unfortunate. I have no taste for chanting. So if a devotee is very sincere in his chanting, in his devotional service, then this is the key actually. You know, if he's sincere, he'll feel humbled, will not be puffed up, will not be intoxicated by false pride. At the same time, he'll be happy also. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada once told one of his disciples, whatever happens, don't give up chanting 16 rounds. Chant every day Hare Krishna, because even if you slip,
Even if you fail, Krishna will protect you because of your sincerity. Then Srila Prabhupada gave a nice example. He said, sometimes the child is holding the mother's hand and walking. And while holding the mother's hand and walking, the child may sometimes slip and fall and hurt. But immediately the mother is there to pick up the child. But if the child abandons the mother and is running around somewhere else, and then even if the child falls and hurts himself, there is nobody to protect the child. Similarly, this holding mother's hand is compared to chanting of our rounds, fixed number of rounds that we have vowed to chant. So if we hold on to the holy name with sincerity, then even if there are problems, even if there are calamities that happen, because we are holding on, Krishna will protect us. Therefore, to conclude the message that we are discussing in today's class is, Krishna consciousness is not hopeless. It's not something like, oh, I'm so fallen, I'm so miserable, I have no humility, I'm proud, so I have no hope. No, Krishna consciousness is very simple. Just sincerely chanting, sincerely doing devotional service, and Krishna will take care. And actually, this is absorption. Once I remember, Satchinandan Maharaj asked Radhana Swami Maharaj, what is your one word definition of Krishna consciousness? If you have to define Krishna consciousness in one word, how will you define? So Radhana Swami Maharaj said, absorption. He said, just absorbing. So that means being in the present. So while chanting, instead of thinking of past problems, lamenting about the past or worrying about the future, absorbing in the present, just taking shelter of the holy names, then we'll feel happy and we'll be saved from this deadly intoxicating pride. Once when Srila Prabhupada was in Hyderabad, he had given the service of managing the Hyderabad farm project to Mahamsa Prabhu, Hamsaduta Swami, Mahamsa Swami, Hamsaduta Swami and Tejas Prabhu. But these three could not get along well with each other. They were constantly fighting and there was a lot of tension between them. And they could, at one point of time, they stopped talking to each other. And they were the three main people of the project. And they were very frustrated with each other. And Prabhupada came to Hyderabad. And one day, coincidentally, all three of them decided that we will go and express our frustration and anger about other two. I'll go and tell Srila Prabhupada. And coincidentally, all three of them were at the same time in front of Srila Prabhupada's door. And they didn't know that the other two are coming. And they looked at each other and they entered. And they saw, what they saw was stunning. Srila Prabhupada was sitting with his hands in the bead bag and he was chanting, he was absorbed in the holy name. It was appearing as if he was tasting something very sweet. He was relishing something, he was in ecstasy. His eyes were closed and spontaneously these three devotees entered. They saw Srila Prabhupada is absorbed, his eyes are closed, he's chanting. So they also sat, they also picked up their bead bags and they also started chanting. So after some time, Prabhupada opened his eyes and Prabhupada knew that these three are having difficulties with each other. Then Srila Prabhupada intensely gazed at each one of them for some time. And then Prabhupada continued chanting and said, just keep on chanting Hare Krishna. All your problems and misunderstandings will be solved. Just chant Hare Krishna attentively. And Prabhupada continued to chant. So of course, it's not that we should not take care of our material needs and we should not have mediation or discussions, no. But the point is, if we are chanting attentively, even if we are not chanting attentively, if we are trying to chant attentively, the fundamental problem will be solved of identifying ourselves with these material designations. That problem will be solved. And then that will be the base for us to improve our relationship. That will be the consciousness of being a servant will be the basis for us to render our devotional service. Therefore, all this Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shri, all are fleeting. So in this consciousness that I am insignificant and Krishna is great, let us chant Hare Krishna and let us be happy. While alive, we'll be happy and blissful. And after death, we'll go back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.